Miracles has its own definition for all the traditional Christian terms that we hear. Like the Holy Spirit is nothing but your own loving right mind. The Holy Spirit is nothing but the voice in you that knows the truth. So just for a minute, try to suspend your beliefs about what you think anything means. Just for a minute. Would y'all be willing to try that? To just let go of what you think things mean for an hour. Really? No, y'all not jiving me, right? Y'all really willing to do it? Just for an hour. Let go of your interpretation. Okay, great. Okay. So basically, the Holy Spirit is a part of us the same, and the ego is a part of us, of course, says it's insane. So talking about the judgment of the Holy Spirit is talking about the judgment of your sane mind, where your sane mind judges. Okay? And so I'm going to read a paragraph, and I'm going to go all the way through it, and then at the end of the paragraph, I throw it open for questions or discussion about whatever it is that I'm talking about. And then we'll take about 5 minutes for that, and then we go on further, because I like to do work out of the book and really hear the Course in Miracles book rather than spend a lot of time analyzing the concepts in my groups. But I promise you, after 25 years of working with this, if you ask me a question, I can tell you what the Course says. Okay, then you just deal with it after that. Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay, then you, okay, cool. All right. Okay, now, it said, you've been told...
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Go, check out.
What is the text that everybody has?
Oh, it's called A Course in Miracles, but it's not necessary to have one to come to the class or get something out of it, but that's the book we're working out of. Yeah, they all had it. And when it says A Course in Miracles, it's not talking about the kind of miracles like when you part the Red Sea. It's saying if we have a correct perception, it's a miracle. Okay, I know. Now, Red Sea, that's on Thursday. I got a Red Sea class. I'll be looking for you in my Red Sea class. Okay. The Course in Miracles says if we have a right perception, it's a miracle.
That's right.
So that's why I called it A Course in Miracles. I thought it was hilarious because everybody thinks, Course in Miracles. Yeah, if you see things correctly, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
Okay. It is, isn't it? It is. Okay. So it says, you've been told not to make error real. The way to not make error real is very simple. If you want to believe in error, you have to make error real because error is not true. Error is not true. The truth is real. Not the mistake. The truth is real in its own right. And to believe in truth, you do not have to do anything. I love that line. To believe in the truth, you don't have to do anything. Understand that you do not respond to anything directly. Which means you respond to your interpretation of it. Like right now, you're not responding to me directly. You're responding to your interpretation of me. Whatever reaction you're having right now, it's not to me. Because if you were reacting to me, you would just be crying with tears of joy, happiness, and bliss. If you were really seeing me, all you feel is love. And that's the way it is with you too. If the Course in Miracles says, until I'm seeing love, then I'm not seeing correctly. So if you see anything other than a cool, loving being sitting up here, it's not my problem. You see what I'm saying? It's your interpretation that's giving you the impression you have of me, especially if you don't even know me personally. You got to totally be looking at your own projection. So one of the best keys to happiness is to realize that what other people think of you is not your business. So he says you don't respond to anything directly but to your interpretation of it. So your interpretation thus becomes the justification for the response. That's why analyzing the motives of others is hazardous to you. Because if you decide someone is really trying to attack you or desert you or enslave you, you would respond as if the person had actually attacked you or deserted you or enslaved you. I'm going to amplify. So it makes it easy to understand. I know when I first went through it, I just had to substitute with the real word for all those its and these and theys and thuses. So I would hear it. So he says, if you decide that someone is really trying to attack you or desert you or enslave you, you will respond as if he'd actually done so, having made his error real to you. So to interpret error is to give error power. And having interpreted the error, you will overlook the truth. So I'm going to say it my own way. Okay, so we've been told not to make the illusions and the fear and the guilt and all that stuff that we experience every day real. And if you really want to believe in the fear and the guilt and the anger and the anxiety, so you have to make it real because it really isn't true. But the truth is real in its own right. To believe in the truth, you don't have to do anything because it's true. If it's true, your belief in it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not it's true. Whether you believe it doesn't have anything to do with whether something is true. So it says, the next thing I need to understand is that I'm never responding to you all directly. I'm always responding to my interpretation of you all. And then my interpretation of you all, determines the way I'm going to respond to you all. Okay? Okay. So, he says, now, if you analyze everybody else's motivation, and you're always trying to analyze where everybody else is coming from, the Code says it's hazardous to you. And the reason why it's hazardous to you is you're going to think that the person is doing whatever it is you made up in your mind, that they're doing, whether they're doing it or not. If I walk in here and I feel like Carol doesn't like me, I'm going to respond to Carol as if she doesn't like me, even though it was my interpretation that said Carol didn't like me. Carol just might be thinking about something that she was going through before she walked in the door, but you know it's all about me. Right? It's all about me. So as soon as I come in, she looks like she's the least bit upset, then it's got something to do with me. And then I respond to her as if she's actually done it. And he said, that's dangerous to me to always treat people like they've done what I think they've done. Of course that's dangerous to me. That's dangerous to everybody to do that. So he says, and as soon as you start focusing on what you think the error is and what the mistake is, he says, you're going to overlook the truth because now you're not concerned with the truth anymore. You're just concerned with being right about your interpretation and your upset. Forget the truth. So when you're focused on your illusion, you overlook the truth. When you're focused on your fear, you overlook the love. When you focus on hate, you overlook the love. Does that make sense to everybody? The Course in Miracles makes a lot of sense. Just the idea that we are just responding to each other's interpretation of each other, that in itself is a powerhouse statement. Do you know that when you remember your experiences with somebody in the past, do you know that you're only remembering your reactions to them? Do you ever think about that? You don't have the slightest idea, really, how they were reacting to you. So when you go back in your memory, you think you're looking at the whole situation, but all you're really looking at is the way you were reacting. You know, you might have been having a good time. They might have been miserable. You can't understand why they don't want to be in your life anymore because when you look back, all you do is feel good. When they look back, their reaction, you might have been hell. So it's just interesting that when you look in the past, you're not really seeing the whole picture. You're just seeing what you remember in terms of your reactions. So how much do we really know about our past? No, that's deep, isn't it? That's deep. Okay, so any questions about that paragraph before I go to the next one?
So, how, I understand exactly what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
but then my encounter of you is, the truth is just as you are.
Right. And what's between you and me being just as I am is what you think about me. And what's between me and you is what I think about you.
So I need to bring my thought of you
mm-hmm.
in congruence with what and who you actually are.
I think I'm in love with you. That's exactly it, brother. That's it. And that's the purpose of the Course in Miracles, is to bring our interpretations in line with what the truth of what we are is, so that we can finally know each other, because we won't know each other as long as we're just interacting with our thoughts about each other.
Can I take it one step further?
Yeah, please.
If you now are not reacting to me or seeing me
mm-hmm.
the same way,
mm-hmm.
what I'm then receiving from you is your misinterpretation of me.
Right.
And so I need to make sure that my interpretation of you remains True.
Please, somebody need to. You know what I'm saying? Somebody needs to keep the correct perception while the other one's gone crazy. But what I used to do was turn on the crazy person.
Yeah.
I'd make sure the crazy person wasn't alone in their insanity. That was my idea of forming a special love relationship. Two crazy people are going to the movie together. Which is great. I think crazy people should very much focus in on each other. That way you have two crazy people removing themselves from the rest of the people.
Yeah.
And so I'm a firm believer in, especially in monogamy among insane people. Okay, now. Isn't that the truth? I'm telling you. I see how the rules, the way they set up, are the perfect rules for people who don't know they're one.
Yeah.
The world is perfect for people who don't know they're one. This is a perfect place for people who believe they're separate. Can't get no better than here.
Yeah.
This is it. This is separation heaven.
True.
Yeah. Yes, if you want to be separate, this is the place. This is it. We got our bodies to prove it. That's the purpose of the body, to make us think we're separate. Then we got egos that we make up for each other, and then we react to these egos as if they're real. You know how you can change the way you feel about somebody just by thinking about them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that what better way to show you that that all people are made up in your mind? Because you change the way you think about me just by thinking about me, even if I'm not even around you. Which would mean that your whole idea of me is a fantasy. And when I act, and so when you meet me, it'll freak you out, and you'll feel like you've been betrayed because I broke the rules for how you decided I was. And that's what happens all the time in special relationships. Whenever you make up the rules for your enjoyment, you also set up the conditions that your enjoyment happens in. Then you get mad with the people who don't cooperate with the conditions you set up for your own happiness.
That you didn't tell them about.
That you didn't even tell them about. That you didn't even tell them about, and now you're in therapy trying to forgive them.
Mm-hmm. God.
This is deep. They didn't even do nothing to you in the first place. That's wild. And therapy is good. I do counseling sessions myself. So certainly. I don't tend to have a lot of repeat business, though.
Yeah.
Keep talking to me one time is quite sufficient for most people. Okay. All right. Anybody else? We got couple more minutes before I go to the next paragraph. Each paragraph gets progressively more awesome, especially this section. This is one of my favorite sections.
Can I ask your name?
It's Earl.
Earl
Purdy.
Earl, so
come on.
Are we always in the process of becoming that? Seeing the other person as they are as opposed to what our filters and interpretations tell us? Are we always approaching that? Almost like approaching infinity, but we never get to infinity.
Ha! What's so cool is that we actually do, according to the Course, get to the point that we reach that point. That our perceptions get so close to the truth that our perceptions actually cross over into what's true. So the Course said two things that really attracted me to it. Most books that I read always told me I'd be learning forever, and for some reason that didn't turn me on. You know, most medical people would, you just be learning forever and ever and ever, blah, blah, blah. Screw that. Okay, and the Course said, well, this is your last lesson. That made sense to me. For some reason, it just made sense. Yes, thank you. My last lesson. It's a Lulu, but it's your last one. But you know, this is going to be a serious lesson, okay? And so it says what you're saying. It says there is a point that you stop learning and you start creating and you start being. Because being will accomplish much more for you than all your figuring out will ever do. And that's what most human beings don't know. That if you would ever just really be yourself, your real self, yourself would attract to you everything you needed for fulfillment. But we have such erroneous ideas of who we are, and we keep trying to act out of these ideas that they keep us. Of course, there's a reason why you must know that you're looking at the world through eyes that are not yours, is because somebody has to tell you what you're looking at. And I went, wow, that's deep. He said, yeah, but if you were looking through your eyes, would anybody have to tell you what you were looking at? You know, so you really got a part of you that's describing what you're seeing to you. And then you're reacting to the description that a part of your mind is giving you about everything. Only the description the course is trying to tell us is wrong. And that's why you have pain. It's very simple. Your perceptions are incorrect. And if you're in a world full of pain, then you think it's normal because so many people are going through the same thing. So all of a sudden you say stuff like it's normal to go through pain. And since you're a creator, as soon as you say it's okay and it's normal, then you start creating more and more pain for yourself. Don't know you're the one creating it because you've been taught to blame others so that you can have some pleasure.
Out.
Yeah, but you know, it's like the only peace some people get is the peace of blaming others.
Yeah.
It's an illusion, but it makes them feel good. I'm a victim, all right, and I don't have to do nothing. I'm a victim. You know, it's a cool position. I'm a sinner. Okay, I can't help myself. Okay, now I don't have to do nothing. But the court says, no, you are mistaken. Nobody likes to be mistaken. Nobody likes to make mistakes. We don't like errors. You know, the minute you say it's a, the court says, the minute that lady says an error is not attractive. So the minute someone says, you know, that picking that person for a partner, it was a mistake. But what's cool about it is that your mind has already been programmed not to make mistakes. None of us like them, right? So if you were to see whatever you don't like as a mistake instead of a sin, then your mind would automatically start to correct it for you.
Oh, yeah.
So you start, the course keeps talking about us going to automatic correction. And I went, okay, I want that. I want to get to the point that my mind automatically corrects itself the minute it thinks anything painful or hurtful. This automatically just, wham! Nope, that's unacceptable. That's incorrect. And so that's what the course does. It gets you to the point that your mind automatically corrects itself so that you can keep your peace, and when you have your peace, you can hear your guidance. So really, I'm trying to put anyone who would come through into my classes, I want to help them get in touch with their own guidance, not try to follow mine. Okay? That's my purpose. It's not about you following my guidance. It's about you following your guidance and getting rid of everything that stops you from hearing yourself. That's the key. Okay. I love how you're getting it. Can you tell me your name?
Charles.
Yeah. I like you. I like everybody in here, but I like you too.
Now, is that your interpretation of him?
And that's the one I want to keep. You know what I'm saying? If interpretations are my choice, I definitely want to start using one that's going to make me feel good, even if it's one that but is being made. But the Course in Miracles, it gives you interpretations so that you don't have to make them up, and it saves you a lot of time. That's what I like about the book. Well, instead of me trying to think of the thing to say about you, it's told me what I could say that would take me to the correct perception. So there's no need to reinvent the wheel. I like to learn through other people's experiences, and that's what you get hooked. If you ever get hooked on this book, you'll know it, because you'll hate it and love it and not be able to put it down.
So what is the universal correct perception for the Course?
The universal correct perception is that everything is either love or call for love. Yeah. And this section talks about this. It's going to talk about why we don't want to see it that way. It's great. Okay. So, okay, let me go to the next paragraph. The analysis of ego motivation is very complicated, very obscuring, and never without your own ego involvement. So every time you analyze somebody else's ego, you're always using your ego to do it. So then, of course, then the man always goes, well, what does that mean? Well, the whole process represents a clear-cut attempt to demonstrate your own ability to understand what you perceive. You're trying to demonstrate that you have the ability to understand what you see. Okay? You're trying to demonstrate that you have an ability to understand what you perceive. This is shown by the fact that you react to your interpretations as if your interpretations were correct. You may then control your reactions behaviorally, but not emotionally. This would obviously be a split or an attack on the integrity of your mind. In other words, you are pitting one level of your mind against another level of your mind. Okay, so let's go back and say it again, real quick. every time you try to analyze where somebody else is coming from, you can't do it without your own ego. So you can't analyze my fear without using your fear. You can't analyze my guilt without using your guilt. You can't analyze anything about me without using the corresponding part of your own mind. It's just like that. So therefore, you're just like anybody you're judging and criticizing, because it's only the part of your mind that judges that could be judging. It's only the part of my mind that knows what selfishness is, because it's in my own mind that can recognize your selfishness. So there's never, ever anything you've seen in anybody else that's not in your own mind. Mm-hmm. Not in you, but in your mind. That's important. That's an important differentiation. Mm-hmm. Okay, you are only love. Period. You're cool. Period. I don't care what you think about yourself. I don't care what you think you've done. Your real self is love. Your real self is innocent. Your real self. Now, you may have some thoughts in your mind that's crazy as hell. But you are cool with crazy thoughts. So the world is full of cool people with crazy thoughts. Okay. What is it? Full of cool people with crazy thoughts. Okay. Then it goes on, then that paragraph says, now why are you always analyzing everybody else around you? Well, the book said, well, the reason why you're analyzing everybody around you is because you're trying to demonstrate to yourself that you have the ability to understand things. He says, and the fact that you think you understand everything is shown by the way you react, because you react to your interpretations as if they were correct, which makes you think you really understand what's going on as a result of your analysis of everybody else's motivation, which is your own, because you can only see their ego through your ego. So the thing you get ready to correct that person for, if you were a conscious being, you would know that would be something that you should be asking for correction in your own mind just because you saw it in them. So it wouldn't have nothing to do with them from the very beginning. If you were really a conscious being, you wouldn't even go to them to say what it was they needed to change about them. You know that if you were to change it in your own mind, you'd get a corresponding change in your physical reality automatically. But the minute you change it in your mind, you won't be dealing with it in the physical world. That's what a conscious being knows. It's like arguing with the mirror because of the reflection it's showing you. It's like me standing in front of the mirror getting mad because it's showing me a brown sweater. And then expecting to change to a red one just by me looking at the mirror and getting mad at the mirror. That's what we do our life. I'm mad at the mirror and I'm wondering why my life don't change, but I'm wearing the same outfit. I'm wearing the same mind. I'm wearing the same attitudes I always have. So I really haven't changed until I've changed my mind, because change doesn't do any good at the symptom or behavior level. The only thing that changing your behavior does is it creates more fear in you. The Course says, if you behave in one way and think in one way, then he says what that's doing is increasing your strain and your fear and your conflict, because you're behaving as you think you should without really wanting to, which makes you feel like you're being coerced all day, and then sooner or later you project that rage and lose your temper because you're making yourself be with somebody you really don't want to be with, or you're making yourself be in a situation you really don't want to be in. You're making yourself go to a job that you really don't want to go to. You see what I'm saying? So the Course saying people are doing it all day long. They're acting like they think they should without really wanting to, and this produces rage. And he says all you have to do to get past that is to make an undivided decision for your peace.
Whatever that decision is.
Yeah. I'm 100%. I'm all in it. I was talking to a friend of mine last night about a business startup they were trying to do. That it was tough, because the hardest part of anything, the Course says, is the beginning. So if you're at the beginning of anything, you're really dealing with the hardest part of it, which is great, because most people fear that they're going to get to the hard part later. The Course says you're dealing with the hardest part right now. It doesn't get any harder than the beginning. And then there were so many circumstances in my life, I can say, that's not true. It got worse and worse and worse as it went on. But it was something, he's talking about the hardest part of going to the truth is the beginning. Because it calls for such a radical shift in your interpretation of things. And that's the hardest thing in the world for us to do, is to change our mind. Of course, that's what we're doing, is telling our mind, man, I want you to find everything that needs to change except me. That's your goal. That's your task. Okay? This book is a trip, man. Okay, so now this is then the Course says, okay, you're trying to convince yourself you know what's going on by interpreting everybody around you, because you really, you know, it's scary to think you don't know what's going on. So you're trying to make yourself think you know what's going on, and you do that by judging everything around you and then acting like your judgments are correct. He said, but what happens is the minute you make that judgment, you control the way you behave around, and it's a situation, but you don't control the way you feel. So if I interpret that Terry doesn't like me, then I may still behave the same way around her that I've always behaved, but emotionally I'm not feeling real cool in her presence. So what I'm doing is I'm pitting one level of my mind against another level of my mind. The part of me that's behaving really nice is in conflict with the part of me that's upset with her. So the Course says that is what pitting one level against your mind means, and that's a split on the integrity or the oneness of your mind. So your mind is now neatly split between what it loves and what it fears. That's what the Course says. Your mind is neatly split between what gives you peace and what gives you conflict. He says, but since your mind is split between what gives you peace and what gives you conflict, and the mind always strives for oneness, what we do is we identify with the part that we like and we project the part we don't like out into everything and everybody else so that we can think we just have one mind with one thought, love. Because I'm just identifying with Earl's good, nicey, nicey, loving mind. And I'm taking Earl's kick butt mind and I'm projecting it on y'all. Now, you all had a problem. And I'm a nice person among people that I don't know if I can trust. Because I'm really trustworthy, but I don't know if I can trust you. See, I had to pretend that I had this integrity in my mind by denying all of my doubts about everybody else, by projecting it on y'all. So that's paragraph two. It's 1,122 pages of this stuff. Okay, any questions about that paragraph? Any comments?
That was such a huge shift when you always talked about being spiritual isn't about being nice and acknowledging those feelings because they've already happened into letting them go. And then eventually the real shift comes when those feelings no longer come up and you're in a situation where it doesn't affect you and it doesn't come up on your radar screen and make you react. But that was such a huge, huge shift.
That's
incredible.
Well, that was the biggest one. That was the biggest one that happened for me because that being positive and nice was killing me. And I knew something was up. You know what I'm saying? And I knew too many people who were saying they was fine, and I knew they were lying. Yeah, but they would always say it. If you always see them, they would say, "I'm fine. How's everything going? Fine. How's everything going? Good. I love everybody." And you know that's a lie, but they really believe it. And that's kind of scary. Don't get a ride with a person like that. They got too much denial coming on. Anything might happen to them. You know, yeah, I love people, but sometimes I think people suck. Yeah, I love people, but sometimes I think they're you can't trust them and they hurt you. Yeah, I love people, and I believe I'm responsible, but there's a part of me that believes that I'm a victim of everything and everybody. And I'm black. You know what I'm saying? And until I admitted that those parts were in my mind, then those parts of my mind kept showing me that they were out there by drawing people into my life that irritated me. And the irritating people were coming from my own denial of my own irritating thoughts. They were saying, "Hey, Earl, hey, take a look at me. This is one of Earl's irritating thoughts." Oh, okay. You are not going to believe that you had an irritating thought. So I'll be the asshole you meet today when you go to the grocery store. Then you'll see you dealing with an irritating thought part of your own mind. And then what the ego will tell you is, just don't go to that grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be how you get rid of the problem. You don't go to the grocery store. Sometimes I will use profanity. Okay.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Profanity, not amateur fanity. Pro. Okay. Yes.
Then where's the line between people who actually are victimized by some kind of predator or something, and the power of the creation of my own mind, my own thoughts?
They're one and the same. They're one and the same. But you don't start at that level. If you try to start at the level of accepting that you create everything that happens to you, it's a trick to keep you from learning the lessons because it will seem like such a stretch. It'll make you throw the whole thing out. And so if you focus on that idea, it is only going to frustrate you because what I found is that that's not an idea I've ever seen anybody be talked into accepting. But that's always been an idea that I've seen people evolve into as they apply the truth for themselves.
So even when you're a child and,
that child is a god, that child has been taught to believe in guilt and fear and just like everybody else. That child was born into this world, so that child has all the characteristics of everybody else in this world. That a child is no more innocent than a 90-year-old man. All of us are souls that have always existed, that continued in this experience to learn lessons in love and lessons in peace. And we're here to learn it because we don't know how, because we do have attack thoughts, because we do have guilt thoughts, because we don't know how to love ourselves. So this is nothing but a learning experience for souls who need to remove the blocks to love. And so we come into what appears to be very unfair, unequal situations to see if we can apply the truth to it, because this is like one big, gigantic, humongous class experiment. And it's big. It covers the whole earth and the whole universe, what the truth would say. So that child comes into this world with their own issues, and we came into the world with our own issues, and we're all here to learn how to go beyond those issues. That was what I learned, which to me makes more sense than the traditional explanations I was given as a child. For me personally, it makes a lot more sense to me that I might be a soul and everybody else is to come here to learn spiritual lessons. It just does. So, but I can't prove that. But I found that the more responsibility I accept for my experience, the less conflict, drama, and attack I attract to myself. And that's been enough to prove it to me. And guess what? I don't even have to 100% believe that's true. All I have to do is have the intention to believe it. You will find that wanting to be loving will attract as much cool stuff to you as being able to be loving if you sincerely want to be. That's, and I say it again. If you sincerely want peace, that desire for peace will attract peace to you just as much as being in peace will attract peace to you, which will let go of that idea that you got to already be in peace before peace can come to you. No, you have to 100% desire peace for peace to come to you. And so the Course then says that your ego is going to tell you, well, if I got to have 100% desire for peace to come to me, well, peace is never going to come to me. And the Course has an answer for all that. It says, well, if you got 10% peace, then the universe or spirit of God, it'll be the other 90%. So at all times, you always have 100% desire born. Mm. And I went, whoa! Am I going to be so... Could I love myself enough to let myself hear a statement like that? You mean, think about that. That's a trip. If I got 5% faith, then you're going to cover the other 95%, so I'll have 100%. And the Course says, yeah, that's the way the part of you that loves you operates. Because, Earl, you've forgotten how love operates, and you think love is fear, and fear is love. So you're attracted to the things you should be afraid of.
Yeah, there's got to be something wrong.
There's got to be something wrong with that. I bring up so much suspicion in people by being peaceful and just wanting to be loving than I ever did when I was more manipulative. Yeah, because people fear the unknown, and since they don't understand you because you're not acting the way most of the people they're used to acting, and just because you become unknown, you immediately become suspicious. And people are afraid of you. So don't trip out as you become more loving to find people moving out of your experience who are afraid of love, so that the people can come into your experience that's not afraid of love, so you can finally have the love you deserve. So when you're in that in-between period, don't think that the truth has deserted you. You're just letting go of one reality to embrace another one that's going to be a whole lot better. And you're going to enjoy the new people in this reality so much, you will not be worried about the other people. Because people think, well, you know, if I'm really, you know, it's like I'm going to be thinking about these people in my past. No, you won't. Have you ever noticed that when you're having a really, 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 really good time, you just focused on that good time? If you're really having a great time in anything, if you're at a concert watching your favorite entertainer, you're not somewhere else. You are totally there with them, trying to savor every second. You're so much in the present, especially $300 a ticket, that you could pop. People spend $1,000 and will come back and tell me something that I say in my class every week for free. But because they don't have to pay for my classes, a lot of times it's not as valuable. But when you lay down $1,000, your butt's going to be paying attention to everything that speaker says. So it's interesting. And all of a sudden I realized that was my relationship with God. My Creator loves me so much and gives me everything freely, so I don't really value that. And all my attention is on what I paid for. What I, you see what I'm saying? It's like all my attention is on what I pick, what I'm making up, what I'm focusing in on. Because what I invest in is what's important to me, and what I've invested in most of all is my point of view. And that's why I protect my point of view above all things, because it's my greatest creation, is my own viewpoint. That's what I've been working on all my life. It's my ultimate sculpture. So when something, so when somebody says, well, you need to chunk that sculpture because it's killing you, then this is like telling a mama, you need to get rid of your child because it's really alien that's going to eat you up.
Mm-hmm.
And the mama goes, no! And that's where we are about our way of thinking, even though it doesn't bring us peace. Mm-hmm. Oh! You know, I want to stay just the way I am without the suffering it entails. That's my goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to stay just the way I am, but I want everything around me to change. Because I'm okay. The problem with everything around me anyway. Right? And that way it looks, I'm okay, but I just need to get something outside of me to switch, and then I'll be happy. Now, here's the part that's cool, though. The truth is, you really are okay. And when you get that, everything around you will change. Automatically, I'm going to keep saying automatic because the purpose of my classes is to go to automatic happiness, automatic joy, automatic cool mate, automatic prosperity, automatic, automatic. Don't you want it automatic? I want it automatic. I'm not afraid to say I like to have an easy life. I'll admit it. I want an easy life. I want to serve. I want to fulfill my function. I want to be a loving force on the planet, but I want an easy life. Anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so come to my group if you want an easy life. If you're a struggle person, that's the person down the street standing in front of Walgreens. They can teach you. Okay. And a lot of them probably have more peace than we ever dream of. We don't know. See, it's just my interpretation that's causing my reaction to them. The truth is, I don't really know. You know, I have a lot of peace not to have a lot of things. I'm not saying that I have to not have a lot of things to have peace. I just notice that more and more every day, my peace seems to be independent of any of the stuff that's going on outside of me, and I like it that way because anything that I can have now is what I want. So if I say my happiness is having that house, that's cool. Nothing wrong with having a house. But you've also projected your happiness into the future. Every time you do that. Not only that, and then you got to do a whole lot of stuff to get it. Because you got to get that house. So it's funny. So you finally get the house, and you sit in the house, and then you go, ah, boy, that really feels good to be in this new house. So you give yourself the feeling you have about being in the new house. After you go through all that, right? You could have done that before you ever got the house.
Besides, then you need all new furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you go to the next thing. So am I putting down stuff? I'm not putting down stuff at all. I'm just saying you need to understand that all your feelings about your stuff come from within you. And if that's true, you could give yourself that feeling anytime without the stuff or with the stuff. But the cool thing is, when you're happy without the stuff comes quicker that you like to have. It's like all your toys come quicker when you're happy whether you have the toys or not. Then the toys show up. Because that way, if you lose the toys, you won't lose your mind. So you'll keep stuff because you know you can just reproduce them at will, anytime you need it. That's cool. That's where we're going, you all. Automatic. But we got to learn how the laws work. Okay, I'm going to try to do one more. Now, okay, this is deep. Okay, all right. Would y'all take a breath with me, please? What about one more, just for the heck of it? Okay. Now, when you leave...
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Are you calling forth someone that's in that other room with that little...
No, I got this. It's a remote control, so I can play a little music. I always like to. I always like to have music behind me.
Not everybody present is here. I don't know.
Well, it's a bunch of folk here we can't see either.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that we don't communicate with because we don't think they exist because we don't see them. Because the Course says we are blind, and it says the Course definition of a blind person is a person who can't see past appearances. In physical form. So it's like he says there's nothing so blinding as perception of form. Because when you only perceive form, he says you only see the outside of everything, and so you really don't have any vision. Because your vision is being blocked by the outside of everything. So he says anybody who uses physical vision, they're blind. because physical vision can't really see through anything. And again, the stuff like that in that book, you just make my mind go, you know, because that's true. When I look at you, all I see is the outside of you. I have no idea about the content of you. So really, physical sight doesn't really see anything. But form. You just see a form. It's not until we communicate that we have a relationship. But our relationships are based on form. Most people are attracted to people because of the way they look. So first they're attracted to a person because of their form. And then they'll get to know the mind. But it's usually the body that's the initial attraction. Almost right down the line, it's the body that's the initial attraction. Which is great if you like your body and you think your body is cool. It's hell if you think your body is horrible and you don't like your body. To be in a world where bodies matter more than anything, you think your body isn't up to snuff, it's certainly not going to make us be a good time.
Is that the snuff in the course
here? Yeah, up to snuff is on page 217, paragraph.
Well, and then aren't you creating not liking your body too? And
who's to say what a pretty body looks like? Right. We're the one that makes up what we think a pretty body looks like, or better yet, the people who want to sell body products.
Oh yeah.
And then we're so silly we follow totally to it. You know, say it's like, oh, unless your lips are this big, you just don't have it. So then everybody's trying to get big lips. You know what I'm saying? It's a TV show on MTV where people are totally taking over their entire bodies to look like movie stars, and that's the name of the doggone show. And they follow the person through the whole process where they go through all these plastic surgeries so that they can look like Britney Spears or something. And it's like, wow. Now that seems like that's an extreme example. You know, and as I get older, I realize it's more important for me to attract more people who have vision. So I need to be attracted to people who can look past the body. You know what I'm saying? It's all right when I'm 20 or something to be the other way. So enjoy yourself. Knock yourself out. But when you look in the mirror and you watch your body changing, and you're like, going, oh my God, if it's just about people liking my body in order to like me, I'm doomed. You know what I'm saying? If you judge yourself by that. Now, if you got a healthy self-image, you look in the mirror no matter what age you are and go, my body is perfect. My body is cool. Because it's just an interpretation. And what we don't realize is that if the Course says it's impossible for us to be alone in anything, so it's impossible for there not to be somebody who likes your body. Because you'll never be in anything by yourself. You know, so I love this book because those kind of thoughts do give me more peace than the ones I learned from the world. Just like it says. It does. Now, enjoy the body. Just realize that your body is a medium of communication. It's the way that you reach people to teach people that they're more than their body. It is like if a person's really using their body correctly, they're using their body to reach other bodies and let them know that they are loved, that they are safe, that they are peaceful. Yeah, I'm using my body to bring peace and joy into your life when I'm using my body correctly. And that could be however we decide that is. Walking in the park, having sex, going to a movie, all that's neutral. The only thing that matters is what is the purpose? What are we doing this for? Why? And once you're clear about that, the Course says that's going to be the meaning of what you do. Purpose is meaning. They're the same thing. Tell me what your purpose is, and I'll tell you what that situation means. Because every situation is nothing but another opportunity to fulfill your purpose. So if you know what your purpose is, you know what to do in every situation you go in all day. He says, with that kind of focus, you would manifest things faster because now your energy isn't spread out. It's all totally focused. So when I come in here, my purpose is to use this situation to help me remember who I really am. When I leave here, wherever I go, I'm going to have that same purpose. If I go in Walgreens, I'm still going to look at it, okay, this is another opportunity for me to manifest who I really am. So if you know what the purpose is, then the Course says you can evaluate things easier, and it's easier for you to make choices because it's easy to make a choice if you have a goal. It's hard to make a choice if you don't have a goal. So if you find it hard to make decisions, you're not clear about what your purpose is, and that's why you don't know what to do. Mm. So if you're sitting around saying you don't know what to do, it's because you don't have a purpose in that area. I don't know what to do about my finances. Well, you don't have a purpose in the area of your finances. You don't know what's supposed to happen. You don't even know what you want to happen. We just know what we don't want. No, we don't know what we want. We just know what we don't want. That's deep, isn't it? He says, and if he says the world is made up of what you don't want. And I went, wow, whoa, that's obvious. Mm-hmm. I am always focusing on what I don't want. Well, don't you just see what you don't want? Mm-hmm. For the most, oh, you got a few things. You go, well, I do want to see that sunset. Great. But pretty much, you going, I wish this would change. I wish that would change. I wish this would change. I wish that would change. Which would have to mean you must be experiencing a life full of stuff you don't want. Or you'd be busy appreciating it instead of wanting to change everything in it. The mere fact that you want to change your life so much means you're not satisfied. No, yes, I am satisfied. I just want more. Well, if you were really appreciated what you had, more would come anyway. You wouldn't have to work on more. More would come to you. That makes sense to me. Okay. And by the way, while you're focusing on the thing that's giving you a hard time, the thing that wants to get to you that wouldn't give you a hard time is waiting. So while you putting all that attention on the thing that's giving you the conflict, of course, it's letting us know, well, peace is waiting for you right behind that. And when you get through with your loop, when you stop, and then, of course, well, how are you going to stop? You're going to stop because you recognize one thing. There's only one thing to make you stop something. Not, you won't stop because it's good. You won't stop because it's bad. You won't stop because it makes you feel guilty. You won't stop it because it's wrong. He said, the thing that will make you stop doing anything is when you tell yourself it will not work. I mean, what? There's no judgment in that statement. It will not work. Because the minute you see something doesn't work, you stop. So saying something doesn't work that you want to stop is the easiest way to stop something you've been trying to stop. It won't work for me to lose weight if I eat 10 pizzas. It won't work. It's not that I'm bad, it just won't work. You know? And the best way to lose weight is to let go of my guilt, because if I let go of my guilt, my body will take its own natural ideal shape, which will be fine. So I need to work on my guilt and letting that go as much as I am on jogging. You know, there are a lot of people who jog past you with perfectly formed bodies that are crazy as hell. They look so good. They have a lick of sense. So you want to make sure some content coming your way, right? We want some mind coming our way as well as the form. We want the content to be up to snuff as well as the form. As a matter of fact, you want to go for the content first and let the content create the form. That's the best way to get what you want, is to let the thought create itself. People don't get that. Alright? Okay. What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to stop, and then I'm going to get a two-minute review after I do the love offering. Huh? Thank you. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, next class.
What?
1 o'clock Sunday, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Just wanted to make that announcement about the class. And I'm also available for personal one-on-one sessions. Okay, now.
If you say something will not work,
mm-hmm.
How do you know that's coming from the love side of you and not your ego?
That way you feel. If it's coming from the fear, then you know you're listening to your ego. But the cool thing about your goal kind of determines whether or not, if I have the goal to not attack people and yet I'm still going off on people all the time, then that won't work. And so the fact that I had a goal helped me understand where my evaluation was coming from, because there's no way you can sincerely have the goal of peace and it'd be wrong, with no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Even if your ego is saying, I want peace. Okay, cool. But still, there are rules of peace that even as an ego human being, you're still going to have to, you have to be peaceful then. You have to be a peaceful human being. So there are certain goals that if you do them correctly, they can't be misused. They really can't be abused. Because if you were going to fake like you love me, would it really be a good fake love? You still got to treat me right. I'm still eating the same meal I'd be eating if you liked me. Because you're still treating me lovingly, even though you're faking it. So hopefully you'll get to the real deal. But I'm just saying that the truth is, if you have the goal of peace and you sincerely have the goal of peace and you really want peace and you really, really don't want to attack, there's no way you can lose with a goal like that. no matter what. There's no way you can lose. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Well, this is the thought. I'm going to do a quick review of those two paragraphs. First of all, when you go out here today, try to remember that the way you react to anybody for the rest of the day is going to be your interpretation. And as if your interpretation is justifying the way that you're responding. So try to, if you can just go, I'm giving that all the meaning that it has. That's all you have to say. And you might not be able to do it in the moment because this is new. You may go ahead and react and have your reaction. But as soon as you can, you want to come back to the thought, you know, what I just got through reacting to was my own interpretation. And that's okay if you do it later and you just go ahead and go crazy. But later on you remember. That's okay. That's okay. Everybody's okay with that? Because we're learning. So give yourself a break. We're learning. If we already knew how to be peaceful all the time, wouldn't it be in the need to learn? Okay, so the first thing you got to start doing is having toleration for your weakness. Of course, that's what makes the weakness a problem, is that you don't have any tolerance for weakness. If you had tolerance for weakness, then your weakness wouldn't be a problem, because you wouldn't spend all your time beating yourself up about it. You just move on. Okay? Then the next thing it says is that when you're interpreting whatever you think is going on, you might overlook the truth in that situation. And it says, you know, every time you analyze anybody else's ego, you're using your own ego. And the only reason why we're judging everything is we're trying to convince ourselves we know what's going on. And when you make a judgment about somebody, you might control the way you behave, but you won't be able to control the way you feel. So you're being strained in conflict because you're pitting one level of your mind against the other. Have you ever tried to hide something even from yourself? Yeah, you lie to yourself. Nobody else even around, but you like pretending to yourself. You know, that's pitting one level of your mind against another. So it'd be better for you to just say, you know, I really and truly hate my daddy, and I want to go beyond that. But I feel hate, I feel fear for this person, the situation. You know, I've had such cool healing experiences with people in my life, and last night, like I said, I belong to a men's group, and we really have an incredible, it's like hanging out with six shamans, and they're all ages, you know, and it's just so cool. And then they're comfortable enough in their sexual identity and their masculinity to be able to really talk about feelings and thoughts and what's really going on. And it's so cool to be around men who aren't afraid of their whole being. It's so refreshing. So anyway, that was one of the things that we were talking about, how the whole purpose of being in each other's life is to help each other remember the truth about each other when we forget. And when you're feeling afraid, especially as a man, we encourage each other to express our fear and what we're afraid about in that moment. And so there was a situation this person was afraid about that they had been holding in because they was trying to be positive and trying to be strong and trying to be, and they felt so safe, which is what happens when you're in a really safe environment that trips people out because they don't expect it to happen. But when you're in a totally safe environment, everything that you've been repressing or hiding comes up and out, and it trips you out because you can't help yourself. You're so safe that you can't hide no more. And all of a sudden, whatever that fear is, whatever that anger, it comes out for you to say it, express it. And it was just like watching that person take the biggest, longest, best dump they ever took in their life, right there. And we joked about it. Let's go get the toilet paper, you know, because it's over. It's done, you know. And then behind that, he felt his power, he felt his peace, he felt his ability to handle the situation, come back up. But it's always on the other side of the fear. That's why you want to be around people who will let you express all your feelings without confusing you with those fearful negative feelings or without trying to fix or correct you while you're seeing it. Because if you can ever just get it out, it'll be gone. Okay, so analyzing it is like holding it. Okay, don't analyze it, let it pass. Okay, before you throw your garbage out, you don't take a microscope and go through it. You just drop it in the dumpster. So stop analyzing your fears.
Wow.
Okay. I'll see y'all the next time I see you. Oh, yeah, please announce the class. One quick announcement. And if you want a copy of today's class at $5 prepaid, just leave your name and the date of the class and the money, and I make it and I bring it back to next week. That's where I do the classes, in case one of them really hits you. Like that one was off the hook. Yeah, Terry?
I'm working with a woman named Stephanie Padilla. She's not a great course teacher.
Incredible.
She's using the...